Yeah, g'day. Welcome back to another episode of Topographical. I know it's been a while. We've been a bit slack, but I've got an episode here for you today. It's a great yarn with a great young fella. And yeah, just get into it. Here it is, episode number six. Righto, well, today's guest is a calf club grandmaster with more red ribbons than you've read books. He once banged two cocks on the double rise. And he's got a passion for ditching all responsibility and heading into the hills. Welcome back to another episode of Topographical. And today's guest is my younger cousin, Sean Alexander. How are you, bro? You're all
You know, I'm doing great actually. That's quite the intro you've got there.
Yeah. Don't worry, we'll get into you and your bloody calf clubbing and your but I thought before we crack into it, I've got a couple of questions to ask you just to figure a few things out because I think it'll be a good way. So go to one there is what's your go-to camping setup when you're heading out into the hills and you're not staying in a hut? What are you running? Are you a tent, a bivy bag, a fly? How do you set up? What's your go?
Well, historically, you like to run huts at least one night on a trip, but I've been out there in the tents before, and now they do all right, but tents don't quite have the money for the your flashy MSR and Cedar Summit tents that weigh nothing and pack up real small. So I got an old ass bivy bag that I stole off the old man. And I just slap the Therm-a-Rest and the sleeping bag in it with a fly over top, and it does the job.
That's actually that's a mean way to go because you don't need so much room either. Like, you get a tent, you've got to find enough room to put the tent on a bit of flat ground.
Oh yeah, I could
Whereas,
just park up under a tussock somewhere.
yes, yeah, with the I've done that a few times with the bivy bag and the fly, and you literally can park yourself anywhere you want. It is bloody good, isn't it? All right, what sort of boots do you run?
I got a pair of lowers. Not the
Oh,
Tibets, but the one down. And yeah, I've been thrashing them for a couple of years now. Yeah, keep
is that
going. Look after
the
them.
Ranger or something, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it's something like that.
Something like that, yeah. And you like them, they go right.
Yeah, like them, they go good. Once you break them in, they're bloody, yeah, hard to fault.
Nice. And if you could only go on one more hunt for the rest of your life, so you're only ever going hunting once again, what would it be? What would that hunt be? Money, no concern. It's just you're only allowed to go hunting once again. Where are you going? What are you doing?
I would go to Eastern Europe and take a few mates, get on some pack horses, and go hunt the ibex.
Ooh, yeah. Eastern
And
Europe. So you're in
like Mongolia, Kazakhstan,
Turkey. That's kind of not
Kyrgyzstan,
really.
yeah.
It's not. Does that count as Eastern Europe? That's
Is that Eastern?
Northern
Is that
Asia.
North Asia?
It's not the Middle East, but it's like I know what you mean. No, I wouldn't call that Eastern Europe at all. I'm pretty sure that's not Europe.
Well, Northwest Asia.
Northwest Asia, we'll call it that. And hunting ibex in one of the stans or something like that. That'd be a mean
Something
hunt.
like that. I reckon
Shit,
that'd
yeah.
be the go.
And I know you're a bit of a tea man. What is your go-to cup of tea?
Bell, Kenya Strong.
Kenya Strong, the double bold or whatever it's called, eh?
Yeah, the one with shitloads of boot in it.
Good on you. Bloody good. Bloody good. All right, so what trips have you been on lately? Where you been? Well, I suppose
Oh, I've done a bit.
sorry.
I've done a
Yep.
bit. So I started off with a hiss and a roar at the start of the year till the old uni work sort of caught up on me. But shit, since I've been down, I've done a few tar trips. I've done three tar trips, a raw trip, and I've gone down Kurau shooting wallabies as well.
Oh shit, that's good
And
fun.
that's, yeah, so four
How'd
tar
you
trips since the start of
get
year has been
into
good.
the wallabies down there? Was that through the hunting club?
So the hunting club sort of, you just know a few farmers down there, give them a dial and they'll chuck you in a wool shed with a box of piss and give you, a spotlight and a rifle, and you and your mates go for it. And
Oh,
it's
that's a mean
pretty
set.
wicked.
So that's through. Well, I suppose we'll back that up so people listening. So you're at Lincoln Uni. What are you studying down there?
Just doing a basic Bachelor of Commerce in Agriculture, I think it's called.
Oh yeah, yep. Mint. So is this your last year down there?
Yeah,
Or you got
last year.
last year? Mean. So you're not doing any work at the moment. No longer getting A's all the time, you're just getting C's and going hunting.
Yeah, somewhat.
And
I work on
Lincoln,
the I'm working on the weekends when the weather's bad.
yeah, fair enough. And so Lincoln's got quite a strong hunting club now, eh? Tell us about the hunting club.
So the hunting club came around back in 2020, back before I rocked up. And so I'd been year 13 in high school, and I was some of the older mates and stuff that first started it. It was pretty much a group of mates that got on their utes, went up for a hunt, and well, applied for money from the uni to, pay for their food and booze.
Oh, so you're
And
getting the club's getting like grants from the uni
yeah,
because
so
because it's a
you can
club.
apply for a yeah. If you're associated with the uni, you apply for a grant upwards up to, $500, $800 type thing. And if the uni goes, oh yeah, that'll, heaps of people gonna have a good time out of that money, then yeah, they'll do it.
Oh, that's bloody good.
So that's how it all started off, and it was like two utes with like 10 people, and you go out with your mates, you go for a hunt, and then my sort of year group rocked up. I think the club size went from about 30 or 40 to like upwards of 150, and
Jesus.
it got pretty hectic because your trip size went from taking 15 people and three utes up the Macaulay to, you're like 16, 18 utes heading up the Macaulay River on a weekend.
Jesus. That's a bloody good trip though, isn't it?
Oh, shit, yeah.
With like, yeah, if you're running 15, 20 trucks, that's a lot of people. That's a lot of beers, and that's a lot of good fun.
Oh, shit, yeah, it's fun. Nah,
And
the Macaulay's sort of the keystone trip of the club. It sort of gets all your first years hooked, and people that aren't exactly keen on hunting, you go look, come out for a walk, see what we see. We might put you onto something, and people get hooked on it from that trip, and it's awesome scenery. The hut's bloody mean,
Yeah,
and
that Macaulay hunt is a hunt up the Macaulay in general, actually, is pretty cool and something you can take just about anyone on because you're going to this amazing scenery. You get a pretty cool four-wheel drive trip. Like there's a little bit of a river crossing and whatnot, and it can be a bit of a hard crossing, but most of the time it's pretty easy. So like there's a little bit of excitement there for someone new into it. The scenery is amazing. The hut's fucking outstanding. Shit, yeah, that's a cool trip.
It's now the hunting club's pretty wicked. So yeah, I was fortunate enough to get onto the exec and sort of help out running the show this year. So I'm doing a bit of that, and yeah.
Oh, that's bloody cool. So, what's a, is
So for somebody wanting to join that hunting club, like what are they, how do they join? And is there, are you running a membership fee? And what's, if you are, like where's that money going? Like what's the story with the club? What's the club doing?
We had a meeting last night. So basically, you rock up to a meeting and it's advertised on, there's an Instagram for the hunting club, there's a YouTube channel. We post all our trip videos up on YouTube. So if you go, oh, that trip sounds interesting, I wonder what it was like last year, just so you get the general gist of what it's going to look like and what's going to happen, you can go watch the video on YouTube, have a gaze, go, that looks like an awesome time. And it's pretty straightforward. So for like tickets and membership wise, there's an app called QPay that goes with the university. So as a uni student, you can, make an account, slap your ID number in it, and then everything's there for the uni clubs. So like your hunting club, your hiking and tramping club, your biking club, everything's on there. The membership's $25,
For the year.
and if you want to go for a whole year,
Yeah.
so what that means is with that membership, you get to rent out club equipment free of charge. You get to buy trip tickets, which can be 30 to $40, depends on where and how long it is. Most of the trips are usually they're all your 2 or 3 day trips.
Yeah.
So basically what that money goes to is, your food on the trips, bring your own beers because everyone drinks a different amount of beers and it's not quite fair. It also goes to, buying sort of like equipment. Like we've got like 3 sets of binos, a spotting scope. We have a thermal. We've got a couple PLBs. A few other bits and
And
bobs like knife sharpeners and whatnot.
so that's all stuff that the club has bought with membership money that as a club member, what you can just kind of like hire it out. Like book it out kind of thing.
Yeah, you walk into the Student Association office on campus, give them $20, take whatever you want, how much you want, write in a little diary where you're going to go, or not where you're going to go, but how long you're going for, when you'll bring it back. Bring it back, get your $20 back because that's just a bond. And everything's happy as Larry.
But that is a mean setup. Like that's especially for someone young trying to get into it and you're a broke ass uni student. Like, I mean, me and you are probably a little bit lucky in that we grew up in hunting families, so like we had gear from the get go because we had hand-me-down shit. I mean, I'm still running granddad's bloody binos.
Yeah, I got the old man's old spotting scope too.
So you get privileged in that you've got this gear that you've kind of accumulated. Because I mean, if you just decide, oh, I want to be a hunter, and you went out and bought all of the gear tomorrow, like even if you were to buy
Oh,
cheaply and only
no.
buy the bare minimum, costs a bloody fortune. Like,
Oh, yeah, it's gonna be like 3 to 4 grand
yeah.
minimum.
Let alone if you wanted to buy, the best gear. So to have that opportunity, like to be able to go there, you join a club, there's a heap of gear there you can essentially rent for free. And then all those connections you create where you can probably borrow more gear from other people and have people teach you. But that is a mean. That's epic for like getting people into hunting.
Well, I know, like when you get a fresher on a trip that they got, no idea about hunting, and you can spin like the biggest yarns and shit, but you just throw them a pair of binos in the back seat of the ute, and they're entertained all weekend.
Yeah.
But no, it's a good setup. But everything's free to, you know, rent out and stuff, except for the thermal.
Oh, yep.
Yeah. Fair enough. That's $15 a day.
Which is still bloody cheap. I mean, like, thermals are not cheap. So $15 a day. And you're using that when you guys are away doing like wallaby hunts and shit like that private land stuff.
Yeah. So we use, you know, thermals and spotlights on the wallaby trip. But yeah, like you and your mate, if your mate's got a farm out, you know, North Canterbury or something, you just go and borrow the thermal off the club and go shoot bloody rabbits and pigs and deer and whatever the hell you like all bloody weekend.
Yeah. Shit, that's an awesome setup. Yeah. So
yeah.
Oh yeah. No, that is wicked. So what do you reckon's the coolest trip that the club's done, that you know, that you've done with the club?
Oh, that'd be an interesting question, actually. I've got two trips in mind. Number one was Hope Kiwi Lodge up by Lake Sumner.
Yeah. And that.
So we drive in.
Go on, sorry.
Yeah. So we get access through Poplar Station.
Yeah.
And drop in from the top, just below the Lewis Pass there.
Yeah.
And it's a bit of a marginal drive. Well, it was after the floods. I'm not sure about the track state this time of year.
Yeah.
But last year it was pretty hectic and a few people dented a few things on the utes, but it was pretty awesome. The hut's well set up and you've got bloody huge scope to go walking and stuff. And I know we pulled, I think, two stags out of there and I think pigs, but everyone that went out saw something or had a go at something or, you know, got real excited about something there. And it was just like so awesome to see everyone, you know, chirping away and having a bloody blast. And at the end of the day, you all come back and there's a cold box of piss under the kitchen table and you can, you know, get a bit loose.
Yeah, that's awesome. And that, like, because that would be, if you're going in there, are you within that, that RHA, the recreational hunting area, the whatever it's called, the Lake Sumner RHA or the Lewis Pass RHA? Is that?
Yeah, sort of like right on the boundary.
Right on the edge of that, yeah. Because I quite like those that they've, you know, set those areas and said like this is for recreational hunting only, no wire, no guiding, things like that. So you've got this great environment there for people to go hunting, and it's like the perfect spot for, you know, like your guys with your club to go there with people getting into hunting for them to be able to, like, as you said, you can see a whole lot because you're in an area with a reasonable amount of animals, you know?
It's pretty awesome experience, you know, just being a part of it and seeing that younger generation, like back when I was a young fella, first year of uni, just
fuck, you're so old now,
being able
now,
to help those guys.
Back in my day.
Yeah, back in my day.
Oh, God.
It's pretty wicked seeing them come through. It's like, fuck, I remember when I was there. I remember when I was that person sitting there in the back seat of the ute with a bear and a pair of binos going, fuck, this is wicked.
Yeah. I suppose change from you coming for you, sorry, coming from the mighty Pakatai all the way down and then just dumped into places like the Rangitata and the Macaulay and up the Lewis, like, bit of different scenery, isn't it?
It's so crazy. I mean, I have seen tar up there in Pakatai though.
Yeah,
just quietly
big ones.
Yeah, a big 13-inch ball up the top of Tapu Pitara that one time.
Definitely. So I suppose it's a good segue onto it. Like, run us through, like, how did you get into hunting? How did you grow up hunting? Obviously, like, very different type of hunting and very different scenery and terrain as what you're hunting these days down in Canterbury. But, like, run us through growing up the valley and chasing pigs and birds and the old sneaky deer.
Yeah. Nah, they're not there. They don't exist. Yeah. We've been doing it since, you know, day dot with the 22 and, you know, your deer stalking trip down to Namatere with the old man and your brother. And, it was sort of weird how I got into it, because I was into it and out of it and into it and out of it. And then, so way back I brought a 20 gauge under over, brand spanking new, and it was, you know, the duck's nuts. Me and Kev used to go walking around with his dog and jumping ponds and flushing pheasants out and, you know, walking the forestry boundary and walking on the wrong side of the boundary and shit like that. And,
yeah.
And then I go, oh shit, I need me a dog. So I got myself a dog, and poor Uncle Kevin goes, oh, you don't want me to come hunting anymore. Well, I don't need you anymore. I've got my own dog. Kevin definitely played a big role in, you know, getting ahead with, you know, the ducks and the pheasants and, you know, building a population and then, you know, taking a certain amount a year and, you know, just making it enjoyable.
Yeah.
And, yeah. But then I've got this other uncle, I don't know if you know him, Nev.
Sounds like a silly old bastard.
He's a silly old bastard. The old man would get the phone call, oh, Nev was driving past. Oh, yeah, who's he poaching from this time? he'd end up, Roddy's driving past, it was ring.
Yeah.
Oh, Sean, want to come for a pig hunt? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, nah. It depends how busy. A couple of times you jump in with him. Head up to Roddy's and, you know, go for a pig hunt. And he'd bloody teach you all the wonders of the world and tell you things you never knew. And
plenty of shit you didn't ever need to know.
Yeah. I'll give that man 15 minutes and a cup of tea, he'll solve all the world's problems.
Yeah.
But, He was a pretty awesome influence on, you know, that sort of hunting culture and, you know, chatting shit and looking after your mates while you do it and just having fun while you're out there.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, it was pretty awesome. And then I made the jump down to the mighty Canterbury, which was definitely a big shot, because I didn't have a pair of binos and didn't have a rifle. I had the old 20 gauge and a 22 sitting at home, but I thought, oh, they're no good on tar. So,
yeah.
I don't really have any kit, but a good pair of boots and a good pair of sunnies. The day before the major Canterbury floods, I decided to go out for a hunt.
Yeah.
Or the day of, the morning of. I went, oh, yeah, I'll go for a hunt. It's only a wee bit of rain, it won't flood.
This is,
and well, we saw how that turned out.
When was this? 2020?
2021.
Yeah, when Ash Burden burst its banks and the river broke and there was a shit show down at the Rangitata and everything turned to crap, didn't it?
Yeah. When the shit hit the fan, I went, nah, she'll be right. I'll go for a hunt up Mount Hunt. And that was not my smartest move, but I borrowed a rifle off a mate and borrowed a set of binos from the club and went, right, let's go for a hunt. And started walking up this riverbed, you know, just right on dawn, and going, oh shit, it looks like it's gonna rain. We stop on the riverbank behind some willows, and you know, start eating some gummy bears, and you know, fucking around, going, oh, should I carry on, should I not? And surely the fuck, this young yearling jumps out of the riverbed about 3 meters from me and goes, what the fuck are you? And I fucking scared the shit out of me. And I scared the shit out of me.
Yeah, yeah.
She booked it down the river, and I jump into the river, look up and down. Oh, there's mum up there in the corner of the river, buddy, 100 yards up. Lie down the river and shoot it. And, oh, it was pretty bloody awesome. And from like that day, it was like, shit, I got to get me a rifle down here, eh? And I was just, hooked up.
That was that, eh? She's but, all over.
That was that. It was all over. Now I got no money and I got no spare time. But
that's uni life for you, isn't it? No money, no time, just having fun.
Just having fun, living. Yeah. So yeah, it was that big change from, you know, shooting ducks and pheasants to and looking for pigs and stuff into, you know, actually stalking the deer and looking for tar and whatnot.
Yeah, yeah. It's a very big. Like, I noticed the same thing when I moved down there 10 years before you did. You go from like when I went down there, I mean, I'd been chasing pigs and goats, ducks and pheasants up home and up at your place and stuff. And then you go down there and it's just like, holy shit, these mountains are massive. And there's deer and tar and everything galore. Like, you know, and that's one thing I suppose you guys at Lincoln have, like, it's a massive opportunity there. You're an hour's drive from so much really good hunting. Whereas up north, you know, like, if you want to shoot deer, you've got to drive to Taupo, more or less, you know?
Yeah.
And it's like, you can't just whip out. Shit, I mean, there was plenty of times when we were living down in Christchurch there where you'd whip out in the summer, you could knock off work at like 4 o'clock, shoot off and shoot a deer after work and be home and back in bed by midnight. Like, you can't do that up north. You got to go either drive all the way to Taupo, fly your ass down south to chase a tar, or you just got to go run around in the gorse looking for pigs, which... You know, they don't have fun in the dark.
Yeah.
So.
There's been a few occasions where we'll be sitting there at the pub with the mates going, oh, I don't know if I can really be bothered getting on the piss tomorrow. Oh, should I go out for a hunt? Oh, shit, yeah. When should we leave? Oh, we'll leave tomorrow morning. Yeah. And it'd be 11 o'clock at night. You would have had a box of beers. And you'd fucking, you'd wake up at 5 o'clock, dusty as a dog. Get in the ute and go, whose fucking dumb idea was it to get up this early? And
off you go.
Drive off for an hour.
Yeah.
Yeah. As soon as you get there, you're like, oh, fuck, this was actually a really good idea.
Yeah. Oh, bloody good. So, back to your bloody Grandmaster calf rearer. Obviously, You're running your ag at the moment down there at Lincoln. You're obviously quite into that. Are we going to see you rearing calves again, winning ribbons, and just being a top bloke at the AMP show? You doing any more of that?
Oh, a wee bit.
Yeah.
Just when I'm up home, you always got that one or two cows you can, you know, slap a rope on. She's all go and she's chill out and just bloody rock up to the show and walk a cow around. And yeah, I don't know about rearing new calves. It's a lot of work.
I imagine, good looking fella like yourself, be able to grab a nice heifer and head down to the Canterbury AMP show and wander around there in that barn. And surely you'd find yourself some lovely lady with a fair few hectares. Wants to have a yarn, like I reckon that'd be a thing, isn't it?
More or less.
Good on you. Good on you.
It's hard to find the perfect woman, they say.
Yeah, yeah. I suppose you just stick to cows. It's easier, isn't it?
Yeah.
So,
nah.
What's the Lincoln Hunting Club got planned for the year? And if somebody, say, isn't a part of the club and is thinking about getting into hunting, or wants to just know a little bit more, like what have you got on for the year, and how should they be getting into this?
So there's four trips a year. We do one every university term. So that's usually March, and then we'll do a May. Yeah, we do a March, a May, then like an August and an October trip.
Yeah.
So Macaulay's first one of the year, slap up, head out there, get everyone hooked on it. And then you do your roar and you do your duck shooting, come back to uni, go down and shoot some wallabies in Kurrell. And then it's a little bit foggy for the rest of the year because we haven't, you know, confirmed anything. Yeah. But historically, we've done a Naseby trip.
Naseby, that is down central. Central Otago is, yeah. Inland stuff, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah. There's a good farmer down there, and he puts us up in his wool shed. And you shoot his place in the dockland behind it.
Oh, nice.
Go out and walk for ages and look for some deer, and then come back and hit the curling rink and Naseby and the luge and have some beers. And it's a pretty fun trip, yeah. Actually. It's big drive though.
Big drive, but yeah.
And then we'll
yeah, big drive. So is that have you got that plan coming up, or is that one not planned yet, or what's the go there?
Not confirmed yet. Yeah. They're pretty straightforward to plan, but we're just still tidying up this term. Yeah. We've got a calling competition as well. So you grab your mates and box of beers and go down to the pub and bring your duck callers and your roaring horn and your give some lady $10 or buy a raffle ticket, and you stand up there and do some mallard calling or some goose calling, or let out a red stag roar.
Bloody good.
Well, yeah, stitch up your mate, get your mate real pissed, stitch him up, and enter him in the human chicken competition.
The human chicken. Please elaborate on a human chicken competition.
But basically, historically it's gotten a bit feral, but it sort of separates. It has a bit of fun in it, and you just pretend to be a chicken, really.
And
you're not making chicken sounds. You're actually a human pretending to be a chicken.
Like walking around acting like a chicken. And is this part of the competition to some degree as well?
Yeah. Yeah, there's prizes.
There's prizes. Oh, that's we need some video of that. That is bloody.
it's on tonight, actually. Oh yeah. Down at the grouse
tonight.
Yeah.
Jesus. Well, I'm expecting to see some pictures and some video from the grouse of that it's
yeah. I'll...
Are you entered? Are you entered for the human chicken?
Nah. Entry's open at 6.
Entry's open at 6. Oh, so yeah. Is that so you got a calling competition tonight at the grouse? Yeah. Yep. Oh, that's bloody good.
Yeah. So that's just like it's a fundraiser for the club, and you get a little subcommittee that organises sponsors and shit. And there's a massive raffle this year, actually. It's, might have heard of them, Doctari Safaris down in Ranfurly. Yeah, so good mate of mine, my flatmate last year, she's the daughter of the guy that runs that. And her old, she was telling me that on the piss that her old man wanted to put in a guided stag hunt as like a prize or a raffle
for the at tonight's competition.
Yeah, tonight's competition. Oh, yeah,
that's bloody brilliant.
Yeah, so I'll go empty out all the coins from the ashtray and give it a name.
Yeah, bloody hell, that'd be cool. That's I won shit. When was that? This is way back in the day, 2001, I think it was, at the Seeker Show. It was this is like proper way back in the day. We were going, we're in Taupo. We were going on a hunt, or we'd been on a hunt or something, and we were going to, so we called in at Seeker Show on the way, and they were doing like raffles for guided hunts, and they had like a guided pheasant hunt. There was a red stag, tar, fallow. No, there might have been some other stuff, but it was $10 for a ticket, and shit. So this is 2001. I would have been like 10, 9, 10, something like that. So I didn't have $10, but granddad was there, and you know he's a good bugger. So he spotted me $10 to get a ticket. I think he bought a ticket for a tar. And I bought a ticket for a fallow hunt because I figured as a 9-year-old, a tar hunt might be a bit of hard work, but I'd never had the chance to shoot fallow at that stage. And I was like, oh, this is awesome. And it was on High Peak Station, which is another one of those big, you know, safari park estate things, whatever you want to call it. And yeah, but I won the raffle. Yeah. $10, and shit, I think maybe the next, yeah, that would have been September, so the next hard antler come round, and then here's me and the old man flying to Christchurch to go on this guided hunt in a high fence situation. This bloody me and the old man are just absolutely fizzing because there's just giant stags. Like, I'd never seen one of these safari park stags before, and like they're just everywhere. And yeah, I'm like, as a little kid, I'm just like, holy shit! Like, yeah, it was just crazy. And yeah, got to shoot a fallow. And as a like that, I mean, that's still hanging on the wall at the old man's. And I think since then, I've probably not shot a fallow that big, you know, in a non, you know, in a public or private land, but like in a wild situation. But it definitely, yeah, this is a cool experience to do, even as somebody who's like who hunts all the time. And I would never, like, I'd never pay to do a high fence hunt. It's not really, you know, it's not my cup of tea, but shit, for $10, what a cool experience to have done. So to have that, like, as a prize at a hunting competition, or at a human chicken competition, like, that's a cool thing to get, you know, to get people, and that's something you could even give to somebody who perhaps wants to get into hunting, but they haven't quite got there yet. Like, that could be the thing that gets them going, holy shit, hunting's really cool, and off they go.
Yeah.
That'd be, yeah.
Yeah, it's, yeah, it's pretty wicked to be able to have that opportunity,
yeah.
Eh?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Oh, man, okay, so that's,
Be interesting.
I mean, that hunting club, shit, you guys have got a good setup there. So how do people find the club? Like, have you got a Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, whatever the young people are using these days? how does somebody find out about the Lincoln Hunting Club, and how do they get involved?
Well, we don't see any TV ads about it, but we're on the Instagram, we're on the Facebook, we're on the YouTube. So if you just search up Lincoln Uni Hunting Club,
it'll be there.
It'll be one of them.
Yeah.
It'll be there. And you scroll through the posts, give it a stalk, watch one of the YouTube videos and go, oh, these geezers are pretty good or they're pretty useless. Or that's what you want to think. But
oh, that's pretty good.
And then you can message and email us if you've got any like questions or queries or just want to chat some shit. We're all
around. And so to join the club, what did you say? It's $20 a year, is it?
Yeah, so $20 gets you, lets you buy tickets and lets you borrow all the equipment and whatnot. And, come to the meetings, have some beer and some pizza and chat some shit about your mates. So it's just through the QPay app, which download that and select Lincoln University as your, it'll be your university. Even if you're not a uni student, you just click that.
Yeah, so that's what I was going to say. Do you have to be a Lincoln Uni student or say you're just a young geezer in Canterbury who wants to get into hunting or maybe you're at UC and you feel that you don't want to hang out with a bunch of engineers and whatnot and you want to go hunting, do you let the outsiders in or have you got to be a Lincoln Uni student? What's the go?
Historically, we have, it's primarily students and then there's a few ex-students that are still around Canterbury that are still part of the club. And then we've had one bloke that won a photo competition for a free membership, but he wasn't a student or an ex-student. He was just, a classic Lincoln lad. And he was there and he loved it. I don't think you have to be a student.
Well, if you're listening.
Yeah. I don't know about the UCs.
You don't want to let them in.
That might tarnish the name of it, yeah.
So if you're listening and you want to get into a bit of hunting, you want to join a hunting club, either go to Lincoln Uni or pretend you're at Lincoln Uni and join up because it sounds like you guys got a bloody good setup there. So that's good. How do people find you? Are you on the socials? Are you on the Instagrams and the Facebooks?
I'm on the Instagrams and the Facebooks. A lot of people know where I live. It's almost scary how many people know where I live. But we won't advertise that. I'm on the gram. You go on there and stalk me and figure out which hill's what and where to go hunting.
And what do you call yourself on the gram? How do we find you? Or do you not want people to find you?
It's Sean, so just the SEAN, and then there's a full stop, and then there's 007, so Sean.007.
All right, James Bond, we're good to go.
Yeah, zero skills, zero talent, seven shitbags.
Oh, bloody good. Nah, Mint, mate, well, I will make sure I share some stuff from the Lincoln Hunting page, the Lincoln Hunting Club on the Instagrams, and I'll put all the links to your stuff in the description there so that if anyone's listening who wants to get involved in a bit of hunting and whatnot or thinks they maybe want to learn, maybe you're a vegan and you're wondering what the hoo-ha is all about and you want to learn a few things, get in touch with these guys. You might figure it out. You might go, holy shit, actually. Hunting's really cool. So, yeah, have you got anything else you want to add there, mate?
No, not really. Just, thanks for having me on. It's been great chatting shit with you another time. Let me know when you make it down to Canterbury.
Yeah, next time I'm down there, we'll have to jack up a couple of beers at the Grouse and go for a hunt.
Sounds
yeah,
bloody
awesome,
good,
mate. Thank you very much.
Yep, cheers. So-